WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Low Tide here on 90.7 The Capstone. I'm Nicholas Persley, joined, as always, by Joe Schatz and Adam Hambright. How are we doing, gentlemen?
Well, I'm doing a lot better than last week, at least. So, you know, we had a much better, you know, football performance today. Last week, South Florida, you know, we were very disappointed with that performance. But this week seems like they're heading back in the right direction. Soccer's in action right now. They're up 1-0 against Vanderbilt at halftime. We did have some other sports that were like a little bit down. But overall, I say we've had a pretty successful weekend.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you said, Adam, it's definitely better this week than our show last week. But yeah, thrilled. A lot of, you know, a lot of stuff happened. A lot of very kind of big deals and big games happened. A couple of SEC openers across sports. So ready to get excited or ready to get into it.
Yeah, it's been a pretty awesome week just in general for college sports. Definitely in college football this weekend. Good news, we get to talk about an Alabama win this week in football.
A real win, I should say.
Of course, they won last week against USF, but not in the hearts or minds of any Alabama fan that had to watch that game. Alabama obviously gets the win 24-10 over Ole Miss on Saturday. Just some kind of general first impressions, first reactions to the win from y'all. Adam, if you want to.
Yeah, so for me, you know, the first half was a little rough. I mean, you already saw the improvement, right? We saw, you know, the defense, they carried on that same mentality from last week against South Florida, basically just shut down Ole Miss. I think that's the least amount of points that Lane Kiffin, Ole Miss offense, has scored against an SEC opponent since he got there as head coach. We forced some turnovers, which is good to see. We had the blocked punt. We did not score after, well, we got a field goal, but we did not. We had the ball at the one after a blocked punt. And then I was not happy with the play call there because we did not go under center. We decided to go shotgun. We have already seen problems snapping the ball in shotgun throughout the year so far. Over, I think it's been every game we've had at least one bad snap. It just happened to be when we were at the 1 yard line. So I would have liked to have seen him under center, not worry about it. Jalen Milroe clearly played better than the other quarterbacks had again. I mean, Nick Saban said that before going in, that he'd played better against Middle Tennessee State and even against Texas when he had the two interceptions. This game, he did have the one interception, which was not a good decision at all. You know, he still has trouble reading the defense, but I feel like the play calling was more suited to Milroe, and it just made the whole team look better this week.
Yeah, for sure. I 100% agree with the fact that the game plan was much more tailored to Milroe. You saw a lot of designed quarterback runs, which, you know, I came on here last week and I was preaching, you know, if you weren't going to start Milroe at quarterback, you need to find a way to use him. And it's kind of the same argument that, you know, you need to build the game plan around him. During that Texas game, it didn't feel like a Jalen Milroe game plan. It didn't feel like they had really planned around playing to the strengths of Jalen Milroe. They were trying to make him something that he's not. I think now we're at the point where we kind of know who and what Jalen Milroe is as a quarterback. You know, he's not the greatest decision maker. He's probably going to make a mistake or two in the game. But he has a beautiful deep ball, and he's very talented running. So I feel like you need to build your game plan around that. And I was impressed by Tommy Rees and how he kind of maybe still wasn't perfected, right? Certainly, the offense looked pretty rough in the first half. But in the second half, we kind of started to see what a offense designed around Jalen Milroe really looks like and how it can thrive.
Yeah, and like, you know, I don't think they tried anything that they thought that he couldn't do, which I think they tried to do that a couple times against Texas, and you know, last year obviously was a different coach, coordinator, play caller, but you know, Milroe against A&M, like it didn't seem like he was all that comfortable. It seemed like, especially in that second half, he was more comfortable with, not in terms of like, you know, the pocket was, you know, great, but it was, you know, it seemed like he knew kind of what he was doing out there, and he looked confident in his ability to kind of make a lot of these throws. And yeah, I think the other thing too, obviously Milroe, you know, played great. The other thing that I'm just really impressed with was the running game. Like back-to-back weeks, they have a 100-yard rusher, and you know, obviously it was kind of interesting that like Roydell Williams had this huge game last week, essentially carried the offense last week, and then only got 8 carries today. But you know, it's because Jace McClellan went for 105 on 17 carries and had a touchdown. So yeah, I thought it was a really good and well-balanced game, and I think that that's just what Alabama's going to have to do now. It doesn't seem like it's a team that, you know, if the other team scores 28, I don't think Alabama's winning. But you know, if Alabama can kind of hold them and dominate, you know, the time of possession and kind of just control the game methodically, that's just what they're going to have to do.
And one thing about, so with Milroe, he went 17 of 21. Now, obviously, a lot of that was, you know, designed to have people in open space. It wasn't necessarily him, you know, reading a whole defense and then, you know, throwing. I mean, with Burton, you know, that pass deep down the field is pretty much like you knew it was going to him the whole time. But I think, like, that play calling is kind of helping out with the passing. I mean, you had the one interception, but you had across the board, like, you're not just throwing to one guy. So I don't know if that is Milroe deciding he's going to throw to other people or if it's specific play calls to get people in space to where it's an easier throw, which I think that's kind of what we think right now. But you had Jalen Hale, 2 receptions. Burton, 2 receptions. C.J. Dupree, 2 receptions. Oots with 1. And, you know, you have, let's see, trying to go through the list right here, we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 different receivers with a reception. So if that is, you know, by design to just not have the defense able to lock down on one receiver, I think that's a great game plan right there.
Yeah, for sure. I'll ask this. After this week's win, how much has your opinion changed on Alabama's ceiling? Because I think we can all kind of agree on what the floor could be, right? I don't think that's really changed. I think we still know, like, you know, against Texas, we saw against Texas, against USF, we saw how poorly this team can play at times. But I think against Ole Miss, we saw something in this team, especially in the second half, that we have not seen from this edition of the team. They played to a level that, you know, honestly is more reminiscent of Alabama football, of that standard. So after the win, after that second half, what do you think the ceiling has your mind changed on what the ceiling is for this team?
Yeah, I definitely like a little bit at least, I think a lot of it has to do with the way that Alabama played in the third quarter, but like, or the second half, I should say. But the other part of it too, I mean, like, if you just look around, you know, I know we're Alabama centered, but it's just like, if you look around the SEC West, like, it doesn't even seem like there's necessarily a better team. Like, Ole Miss had the opportunity to kind of say that they were a better team and fell pretty flat. You know, so I mean, like, LSU kind of looked rough, and obviously they have the one loss to Florida State, and you know, I just don't, I think that Alabama could still very well get to Atlanta, which I guess isn't something I would have necessarily said before yesterday, but I think that their ceiling changed a little bit just in that sense of, you know, there seems to kind of now be a direction, and it seems like in a division and almost a conference of like kind of directionless teams, Alabama at least seems to have finally found an avenue to win games, which is something that they haven't been really doing the past couple games against Texas and USF.
Yeah, for me, you know, I kind of have the same like outlook that I've had since before the season, which is like, they could win every game, they could lose every game. I mean, we talked about it last week. I said that they could still go 11-1, they could go 6-6. You just don't know. I really have liked how the defense has played the last 2 weeks, and I think that's what's really going to carry this team if they can play really good defense and then not turn the ball over so much. But also, we had another touchdown called back from a penalty, so if we can cut that out, like if Alabama cuts that out, limits the times that they're taking points off the board or almost fumbling a snap over the head at the 1 yard line. You know, they should have been, you know, they won 24-10. The game should have been at least with Alabama in the 30s. Like it should have been, you know, a bigger lopsided win. I still think this team could make the playoff because if you look at, like how Joe was saying, you look at the rest of the SEC, no team looks like the best team in college football. Like Georgia's probably the best team in the SEC right now, but they still had their struggles. They had to make – they're down 14-3 against South Carolina. And then, you know, they came back. They won 24-14. They didn't allow any points in the second half. But if you're just looking – it might not look pretty to everybody because you're not seeing the Alabama offense like it was with Bryce Young or Mac Jones or Tua. But if you just think back, like even like the Jalen Hurts years, our offense wasn't going out there and putting 50 points every week. It was a lot like this team. So, like, really, if you look at those years with Jalen Hurts, Jake Coke, or Blake Sims, it's very similar offense. And now that we have a defense that might be on the caliber of those teams that they're – I think they could make the playoffs, but also there's a lot of other good teams. We don't know if Big Ten might get two teams in. Pac-12 might get two teams in this year with how they've been playing. So we'll have to see. They need to – if they want to make the playoffs, obviously, you know, don't lose. Win the SEC and see what happens. But, you know, I think they can go as far as the defense takes them at this point.
I think the other thing, too, that just to kind of go around your point with getting to the playoff is that, like, I mean – if you look at it, like, say Alabama does, and it's a huge, like, this is a huge if they are able to run this table and get through this season with one loss, and then, you know, I don't want to go ahead and say it now, but, like, realistically, it's going to be Georgia coming out of the East. Alabama would have at some point gotten punched in the mouth. You know, obviously they had the loss against Texas where they got, you know, punched in the mouth a couple of times, but then they're about to go to Mississippi State, which is a, like a real annoying place to play a football game. Then you go to A&M back-to-back weeks. You're going to have Tennessee, LSU coming in. You're going to have to go to Kentucky, go travel on the road for the Iron Bowl, which admittedly, like, those are very tough games in themselves, and Alabama could lose any of them. But if you look at it, like, if they can kind of get out of that and still only have that one loss to Texas, I mean, they're going to be primed to probably take on almost anybody because of who, like, just the level of competition that they got.
Especially if Texas does go out and win the Big 12. Like, if they just go undefeated and win the Big 12, we don't know if that's going to happen, but right now they look like the best team out of the Big 12. I mean, Oklahoma hasn't looked like they're going to, like...
Oklahoma looks like us.
They just...
I mean,
they beat Cincinnati this week 20-6. They didn't look impressive. I mean, you could say that about us against South Florida, but, you know... Everybody's going to have a game that they're not really going to play that well. And right now in the SEC, I think we only have three undefeated teams left, and it's Georgia, Kentucky, and Missouri. So,
who would have guessed?
Yeah,
very true. Getting back to the ceiling question, I think, in my opinion, for me at least, that the ceiling has changed for this team. Right, after that USF game, I was like, you know, two losses, three losses, that'd be a really good season for this team with how they looked. Because you looked at that schedule that's coming up, you know, LSU, Ole Miss, we thought was going to be a much more challenging game. Tennessee's coming here, even though they haven't looked that great. You got to go on the road to play Mississippi State. You got to go on the road to play Texas A&M. Still going to be a really tough, tough game. But in that second half, I saw a completely different team. I didn't think this – that team in the second half played to the kind of standard that you expect from Alabama football teams. They looked dominant. They came out – you know, I think they scored on three straight drives coming out of the half. Just looked entirely different, looked explosive. The thing for me, and I wrote about this in my piece from the game on gameday.ua.edu, shameless plug, was when, you know, Jalen Milroe threw that big touchdown pass to, I believe it was Jalen Hale, in the end zone, and immediately he goes down. And you could almost hear the whole of Bryant Denny go from just an absolute roar, like, I think we just figured something out. You could kind of feel like the switch flipped. But then everybody went silent because they thought, oh, well, you know, now we just found our answer at quarterback, and it's gone again because he's going to be out. He's going to be hurt. And then all of a sudden, he just springs up, and he starts running towards the huddle, and he's, like, jumping in there, pumping everybody up, and that place is just going nuts. And then to follow it up, you've got Ty Simpson that comes out there on the two-point conversion, gets face mask penalty. They're trying to rip his helmet off, and he just powers through and gets in. It just felt like the entire momentum of the season flipped for me at that point.
I think, too, just to piggyback off of that, like, it reminded me a lot of watching in 2015. I guess it was 2015. I get confused sometimes with, like,
who was the quarterback? I'll tell you what.
Yeah. No. It was right after. Yeah, it was right after they lost to Ole Miss. And they went into Georgia, and it was, like, pouring down rain.
It was one of my favorite games of all time.
It was, like, Alabama, I think, was, like, again, I think they were, like, 13th. Might have even been, like, 13th and 15th or something. Like, kind of a very similar game. And Jay Coger goes out there and, like, puts on the clinic and run. And, like, I forgot the score, but it was a very dominant performance.
And if you remember, so they're going to the game. That was the first time we were the underdog in, you know, years at that point. And it's raining beforehand. The Alabama defense and, like, it's probably some offensive players too, but they were almost getting into, like, Georgia players, like, before the game even started. And just, like, you knew they were ready to go. They were very upset on that loss the week before. And then, you know, you had, like you were saying, Coker's playing good. We had, you know, a dominant defensive performance. I think Minka Fitzpatrick blocked a punt for a touchdown and everything. So it was great. But, I like the game.
Yeah, no, it is. Like, that's, like, a top – like, if you ever need to, like, rewatch an Alabama game, that's one of them for sure. But kind of the bigger point was, like, that was kind of the moment that Jay Coker, like, really won over, obviously, like, the fans, but it seems like the team too. And I think Milroe had that moment when on that passing touchdown where, like, he gets up after, like, legitimately, like, getting, like, the wind knocked out of him is, like, a little, like there needs to be a stronger phrase for what happened to him. Like, he got drilled, and then like, gets up, like you said, and it's just pumped up, and obviously it was a huge touchdown because it seemed like Alabama just could never get in from the never get into the end zone. And, you know, and it seems like that might be his moment. And obviously, you know, it's one game, so, you know, we don't know. We didn't exactly know that Jay Coker was going to win out and win the national championship. But, you know, it just kind of reminded me that a little bit of, you know, yeah, it seems like the team actually, like, bought into Jalen Milroe as their quarterback.
So I have a question. Do we remember what the spread was going into the South Florida game?
44.5.
Okay. I don't remember the exact spread, but now I believe it's looked at differently. One, because this team has not lost, and, you know, they have the reigning Heisman winner. But USC is favored by 30 points going on the road to Arizona State. They won by 14 points. Now it was 42-28, but you're not really hearing all the, you know,
well, because maybe Coach Prime.
I mean, well, my
he's
thing,
out there.
I mean, the thing with that is, it's like, okay, their quarterback went 20-31, 322 yards and 3 touchdowns, but their defense gave up 28 points to Arizona State. You won by 14, you were favored by 30, and, you know, you're not really hearing, like, obviously they know they have the answer at quarterback, but you're not really hearing anything about, I mean, you're still hearing, like, I even said it, you know, the Pac-12 might get a couple of teams in, because right now USC's ranked number 5, and they might have moved up today. I don't remember what the AP poll came out as.
I don't know. But the line for Alabama and USF was 34 at closing.
So both teams won by 14. USC won because their offense. Alabama won because their defense only gave up 3 points.
Yeah.
It's very similar to me. Now, if those teams played, like, today, you know, USC probably be favored. I mean, undefeated and an offense like that. But
it's
very similar in different ways.
I think it was just because it was South Florida, to be honest.
South Florida might beat Arizona State.
And, like, Yeah, I get that, but like, just like the national like audience, like South Florida and Arizona State, like people have been like, oh, Arizona State, like Pac-12 football, you know, conference game, it's whatever. And it also happened. What time did that game kick off? Like 11 o'clock at night or something. Like it, you know, like,
it was a true test of the will.
Yeah, like you gotta watch college football to watch that game.
That's like
South Florida was on ABC at 2:30 or whatever. Like
watching that game is like the step below like watching Hawaii when it comes to like college football dedication.
Yes. Yes.
Anyway, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to preview the Alabama-Ole Miss game and talk about all the other Alabama athletics here on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back in, everybody, here to the Low Tide on 90.7 The Capstone. Nicholas, Joe, Adam, talking Alabama football. We just kind of got done in the last segment talking about that game against Ole Miss. But this week, we preview our first real SEC road test for Jalen Milroe going to Mississippi State. What is the number one thing that has to improve for Alabama in order for them to be successful against Mississippi State?
For me, against Mississippi State, so with Jalen Milroe, all of his he has played on the road. He played on the road at Arkansas last year after Bryce Young went down. We kind of already had the game, you know, won at that point. He had the good runs and stuff. But this season, he's played against Middle Tennessee State, he's played against Texas, and he's played against Ole Miss, all at home. First game on the road, it's like starting on the road in the SEC without a cushion. You know, it's going to be loud. You want to see how well that they're able to communicate from Jalen Milroe, offensive line, receivers. You want to see, you know, less penalties, obviously. We say that every week, but really, if they can cut out the penalties and have good communication on offense, I think the defense is going to be okay. I think they're going to play really good, but if we can not make as many mistakes, you know, snapping the ball, getting touchdowns called back for holding, you know, maybe like if it's so loud, because it gets really loud, you know, with the cowbells, the only SEC stadium where they actually allow in artificial noisemakers, you know, if the offensive line can't talk, we've seen the issues with the offensive line already, and if they're not able to communicate, you know, there's going to be a lot more blown blocking assignments, and that's what I'm kind of worried about going into the game.
Yeah, 100%. I agree. I was actually going to bring up, you talked about it a little bit, the problems with the snaps. I don't know what's going on with Alabama this year and the center position. We have had a lot of trouble snapping the ball this year. And that's going to be a big, big concern when they go on the road to a stadium that is going to be so loud. You know, even in the past, we saw Bryce Young have trouble with it in the past when they went on the road. They couldn't hear anything. That's a concern for me. The other concern is that I think you just want to see the number one thing that really has to improve is the offense just has to be cleaner, right? And that comes with the communication, you know, fixing the O-line, stuff like that. But the offense that we saw in the first half against Ole Miss, that if that happens on the road, you're really going to let that crowd get into the game. Like, they are really going to start to impact the game. When you travel on the road, it's really important to come out and set the tone immediately. Okay.
So I was at the game in Starkville 2 years ago. Alabama won that game by like 40 points. You know, it wasn't close. And the good thing about that was they were able to jump out to that big lead to kind of make the crowd. I mean, the crowd was still loud, like it's always going to be loud. But, you know, there's less people, you know, shaking their cowbells. You know, once they're down by 20 points in the first half, they had Jordan Battle return a pick six for a touchdown in that game. So it kind of took the crowd out of it. This offense does not look like they're going to – you know, score 50 points against, you know, SEC defenses yet. Maybe as they improve, they'll get better. But if we're just going off of how they played, you know, this past week with the struggles, if they're not able to make this, you know, a convincing win, like if it's close going into the third quarter, that's when that crowd's going to really have, you know, a chance to impact the game, like you were saying.
Yeah, I think the other thing, too, for Alabama is just getting just generally continuing, I think, just that very well-sounded defensive game. I mean, Mississippi State is able – I mean, you know, they've been able to kind of put up a fair amount of points every once in – you know, obviously the game against LSU, they really struggled. But, you know, South Carolina, they scored 30. They got 31 on Arizona. You know, and Will Rogers is a very – I mean, he's like – if the term veteran quarterback ever fit someone, it was him. I mean, he's been in college and at Mississippi State for seemingly forever. But, you know, he's playing really well, only has one turnover, 6 touchdowns through the air, you know, really effective passer. So I just think, you know, just keeping that up and it's going to stress our DBs and that kind of offense is going to stress the defense as it normally does for Alabama. But yeah, that's just what I'm looking forward to seeing too, just how does the defense combat this kind of, at least what they're trying to be, is a high powered offense.
So in each of your opinions, what do we think the final score is looking like for this game? I won't ask for specifics, but like one touchdown game, 2 touchdowns, is it close? How would you predict that Alabama is going to fare on the road?
It's really hard since this is, you know, our only experience with this Alabama team on the road was South Florida. They won by 14. You know, they only gave up 3 points. But now with the success we saw in the second half against Ole Miss, I think that's going to carry over into this week. Now, if we start turning the ball over like we have a couple of times, only once against Ole Miss, but, you know, on the road in that environment, you never know what's going to happen. For my initial prediction, I would expect something similar to last week, maybe a little bit more if the offense is clicking a little bit more with another week to prepare. I think the defense is still going to be solid. I would say, you know, the spread right now is 14.5. So, I'm kind of thinking around that line. Like, we won 24-10 this week. I was kind of thinking a 31-17 kind of game next week. But we'll see. On the road, first time, it's hard to give an actual prediction of that. So,
yeah, I think that the defense is going to come through and actually just win this game. I think it's going to be like 27-10. I think it's going to be very similar to what we saw Saturday. I mean, Jalen Milroe, it's like kind of interesting, but outside of that Middle Tennessee State game, any game he started, they've scored 24. Like, they scored 24 against A&M, scored 24 against Texas, 24 against Ole Miss. So, like, I don't it's a weird thing, but I think they shocked the world and hit 27 on Saturday.
Would be wild to see, but that is a pretty safe bet. That's funny, I didn't notice that. I'll put mine with kind of a, like, I don't even know what the proper word for it is. I'll say if Alabama comes out and they score on their opening drive, this game will not be close. They'll take the crowd out of it early. They'll win by 2 touchdowns, at least. It won't be a close game. It's not going to be the kind of stressor that we had, like, going into the locker room this week. If they were, like, let's say Milroe makes another early mistake. He throws a pick. Something crazy happens. He makes a bad decision. That's when it starts to get really dangerous. And I think if Alabama allows the crowd to come into this game early, doesn't kind of immediately show that they have the capability to kind of dominate the game. If they show weakness, like, people can smell blood in the water. You heard Ole Miss talking about this after the game. Several of the players said that they really thought this was the year that Alabama was super vulnerable, and I would imagine that Texas saw the same thing. It feels like every game this year for Alabama, everybody's kind of going in knowing like anything could happen out there. Like you don't really know what to expect. I tweeted about this pregame, but I said, like, when was the last time you went into an Alabama game and it was really like 50-50? Like you legitimately anything could have happened. And I said, I wouldn't have been surprised either way. If they would have lost to Ole Miss, I don't think it would have shocked anybody in this room. Like, honestly, just because we've seen now we've truly seen a little bit of everything from this team. So once again, if they come out and score on the opening drive, I think they dominate the game. It's not going to be close. It'll be similar to this week, but it won't be like a 1-point game at halftime. But if they come out and they're slow to start, Milroe makes a mistake, then we're going to have a close game on our hands.
Now, one thing has nothing to do with this week because they will be on the road, but I just want to bring up like how good the atmosphere has been at the home games this year compared to last year. I mean, Texas A&M got loud, but also we did not have a very good home schedule as fans like going in there. This year, with all of the big games being at home, minus, you know, Texas A&M and Auburn, you know, we've had even Middle Tennessee State, the place was loud, but like Texas and then now Ole Miss game, I think the fans are actually like taking it upon themselves to make themselves a part of the game this year that I really haven't seen the last couple of years.
Yeah, it definitely helps when you're not playing Utah State and Vanderbilt back to back.
We had Ole Miss 2 years ago. I think we were way louder this time. I don't know.
But. Yeah, well, I think that kind of what you were saying. I think the crowd almost knows that they have to. I mean, there is no safe game probably outside of, I guess, Chattanooga or whatever the game is before Auburn. Well, that's true. The moccasins are, you know, they're ramping up. But
Would you really be surprised after what we've seen from this team this year?
Against South Florida? Yeah. Another one of those. Buckner randomly gets assigned to start that game. But, I mean, like, there's, you know, that's actually a really good point. I didn't think about that, but that is very true. Like, I haven't. And, you know, I haven't gone – like, I've been to just all the ones about, you know, for my really 2 years of being able to, like, go to a fully capacity stadium. So, you know, I outside of that, I mean, you know, got loud, like, I think a couple years ago for, like, Tennessee. 2 years ago, I think it was kind of loud for that game. But, yeah, I think the crowd knows that how important they are this year more than anything else because it doesn't seem like it seems like they're kind of needed.
True. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to have a complete rundown of everything that's happened outside of Alabama football this week here on the Low Tide on 90.7.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back in, everyone, to the final couple minutes here of the Low Tide on 90.7 The Capstone. Nick, Adam, Joe, talking Alabama athletics. We got a lot to get to in this final segment, so I think we'll just go straight into it. Adam, I believe you have some soccer updates.
So they are currently playing right now with about 10 and a half minutes to go. Number 9, Alabama, is up 1-0 on Vanderbilt. They have had, you know, a little bit better performance today than they've done on Thursday. They have had, you know, at least a couple of shots on goal that should have went in. Like, Gianna Paul hit one that went off the post in this game tonight. But they will most likely fall in the rankings when they come out tomorrow. They have played on the road at Arkansas, who was ranked number 11 Thursday, and it was not good. Gianna Paul did get hurt in the game. Obviously, she is fine now. She has been playing. But they were down 3-0. In the first 15 minutes of the game, and it just, you know, when somebody gets on you that quick, like in any sport, you know, it's kind of like, it's very tough to come back from it. But yeah, they scored, you know, let's see if I can get everything pulled up. So 3-0, 15 minutes of the game, Bea Franklin in the 4th minute, Avery Wren in the 7th minute, and Anna Padagel, I don't know. I hope I'm not pronouncing it wrong. Probably am, but that was in the 15th minute, and then it's 3-0, and then they would add goals in the 53rd and 69th minute to put the game out of reach. Arkansas was the preseason pick to win the SEC. You don't want to see a 5-0 loss. That was their first loss of the year. They also have four ties. Hopefully, Alabama is able to add on another goal or at least hold on to win tonight so they don't fall too far. But, you know, still, they still got a long, you know, season, SEC tournament, hopefully a run back towards the College Cup. We'll see if they're able to actually make it to the College Cup. But, you know, they still have only one loss in the SEC. They could still win this thing, so.
Very true. You know, I think that loss against Arkansas really was just a case of you came out and you weren't ready to play. It happens to every team. You know, you're going to have a game like that every once in a while. And I think specifically with soccer, it's so hard to follow up like a historic season for your program, right? You know, they had the best season in program history last year, and the expectations are high as ever. It's going to be difficult to build off that. Kind of like Alabama basketball after the SEC championship. You know, that it was it's always tough to come out and match the super high expectations. But I do think so far they're kind of bouncing back against Vanderbilt. And you would hope that, you know, this is kind of a wake-up game for them. It was a wake-up game for them against Arkansas.
And I don't think I mentioned it, but the goal tonight was scored by Mariana Anest. She was the one that scored the goal tonight in the 41st minute to give the lead.
All right. In women's golf, they played the Mason Rudolph Championship this week in Tennessee at Vanderbilt's home course. Not the greatest week. They finished in 12th. They had a decent round today, two over as a team. Elena Sines and Sarah Edwards both put up 200 par 70s in the final round. So something to build on going forward. Not the best week, but hopefully they can bounce back in the future going forward this year. In men's golf, very exciting. They've got they're hosting the SEC match play in Birmingham starting tomorrow. Very exciting event, obviously, with the match play component, going to be really fun. I've talked about this team before. This is a team that has very, very high expectations for this season. Their last event got rained out for the final round, which is kind of a bummer. You always hate to see that. But very good field coming in. Has nine teams in the top 25. Number 3 Vanderbilt, number 6 Auburn, number 8 Florida, also number 12 Tennessee, Alabama's ranked 13th, A&M 17th, Georgia's 20th. Like, just a loaded field this week. So a good chance to see kind of where you're at early in the year and to send a message for later on in the year when you do get to the actual SEC tournament. And further on, you know, in match play, see what you got early in the year.
Yeah, that's a big, that's going to be a big, I think, just upcoming, try to get, you know, trying to, you know, just kind of get that match play mojo going. I mean, it's kind of, it's fun, at least as a spectator, just watching that kind of style of it. So I'm hoping, you know, hopefully they just kind of use it as an advantage, just, you know, opportunity to get out. But I'm going to switch it over to the hardware, the volleyball. Alabama, you know, we've talked about, you know, oh, they had this great start. They were 10-1. Just wait until they get to SEC play, and it hit them like a truck. They had a couple games over this weekend. Friday, they played Ole Miss at Ole Miss in Oxford. And despite leading the first set 17-16, it ended up slipping away from them. Lost the first set 25-20, and that just kind of set the tone. They got blown out in the next two sets, 25-17 and 25-18, as Ole Miss swept away the Crimson Tide in just pretty, you know, pretty dominating and fashion. You know, Kendall, for Alabama, you know, some of the positives, Kendall Rowe, again, had 8 kills. Kaylee Kiefer had 27 assists. Leah Wells with 3 blocks. So, you know, it was just kind of like a, much like, you know, we talked about with soccer, it was just, it was a really tough day at the office for them going up against Ole Miss. And then they went to the other side of the state, played Mississippi State in Starkville, and got swept again, three sets. This one was a little, you know, they showed a little more life later in the game. They lost the first set 25-16, but then, you know, got it competitive, you know, 25-20, and then 25-21 in the third set. You know, Micah Grinowitz actually led the way for Alabama with 11 kills. Kendall Rowe had seven. Rowe also had three aces. Aaliyah Wells with two blocks. Kaylee Kiefer with 27 assists. For the Bulldogs, Carly Schmidt had 10 kills. Sophie Egi, it's either Eg or Ae. Sorry if I'm saying that wrong. Also had, you know, 10 kills as well. Emily Orther with three aces, and Rebecca Walk with three blocks for the Bulldogs as they shut out the Crimson Tide. And Alabama now falls to 10-3 on the year. You know, the SEC now 0-2 in the conference, and their next game is next Sunday against Kentucky. In Tuscaloosa here, and then that'll kind of hopefully get them back on track. It's Greek night. It's also a bag giveaway game, so if you're in town and looking for a new bag, go to volleyball.
What else are you going to do a Sunday at 1 p.m.? So if we can get a big crowd out there, support them. It gets pretty loud in Foster Auditorium. So
it's a cool place. I will say that's like a very underrated place to go watch, like, just a sporting event as Foster, because I went to, like, that basketball exhibition, what was it, last year? It was pretty loud. And then the been to a couple volleyball games over my four years, I guess. And it's very fun to go because it's very packed and very loud.
And, so, you know, we did have some tennis action. They were in the Big 12 SEC Challenge. I cannot find the official, like, all the results from it, but it looks like Alabama's tennis did pretty well this past weekend. Hopefully next week I can actually find like an actual standings thing for it. But, you know, other than, you know, a few bumps in the road, all the sports seem to be doing pretty well this year.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Just kind of real quick, a quick rundown of everything you can expect this week. Obviously, men's golf in Birmingham this week for the SEC match play, or SEC, I think it's called the SEC match play officially, not to be confused with the actual SEC championship, which is also match play after the stroke play. You know, golf, very complicated. But that is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And then nothing until Friday, swimming and diving versus Delta State here.
That's what's up.
In town. Might have to pull up for that one. Men's tennis, they're hosting something called Alabama 4 in the fall. Don't know much about that, but all day here in Tuscaloosa, track and field cross country at the Joe Pyon Invitational in Indiana. Pretty exciting. 8 a.m. start for that one.
Oh, yeah. That's the worst.
A heater.
Yeah, those things last all day.
Yeah, that is an event. That's probably starts at 8, ends at 8.
Soccer at Kentucky, 6:30 p.m. On Friday. And then, of course, Saturday, Mississippi State.
Yep.
And that is late kick.
Yeah. 8 p.m. Yeah. I will be there. I will also be driving back that night, so it's going to be
late.
I'll add this too, a little plug for the website. Alabama has some practices starting, and we'll have some coverage of it on gameday.ua.edu.
Yeah, of course. We love shameless plugs.
Yeah, figured we could get that out there because a couple of big sports, like, you know, basketball picking back up, both men's and women's baseball, new head coach. So, yeah, we'll have it covered.
Very exciting.
And I will say, I've been to almost every sport over here. The ones I haven't been to, I have not been to swimming and diving yet. And also haven't been to golf. I don't really know if to a golf.
It's very
that's
tough.
That's kind of hard.
I'll say this. It's very tough to go to golf. You can go to this tournament in Birmingham. It's free admission this week. So if anybody has a chance to get out there, I think they're going to be playing like pretty much all day tomorrow because they'll be playing two rounds of stroke play before they pair off into match play.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I've been to rowing. I've been to both tennis. I've been all basketball. Everything else. Just not those. But anyway, also, it has went final. Alabama soccer has won 1-0 over Vanderbilt. 26-game unbeaten streak at home.
Very nice. You love to
see that. They just can't score more than a goal. It's tough out here sometimes for them.
And if you're looking for a recap of said soccer game, we will have a recap up. Mr. Caden Johnson will have that on gameday.ua.edu. Shameless plug.
So many plugs in the last 2 minutes.
It's promo machines.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's going to do it for us this week on the Low Tide here on 90.7. We'll be back same time next week. Thank you.